Shalom to the bride of Christ, and God bless you wherever you are. This is the Bride TV, a timely technology to meet the needs of God's people in this generation. You're welcome to this interesting Bible study program, question and answer session with Pastor Moses Alu, or you may simply say, Ask the Pastor. This platform has been created to help Bible students. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that we know in parts. And since we know in parts, if you're a true student of God's word, you always have questions. The more you study, the more questions you have. And we've provided this platform to answer those questions. Not because we know it all, but because iron sharpens iron. And this platform has been dedicated to all Bible students. So we want you to have fellowship with us online by virtual reality. Talk to us, send your questions, and the pastor is here to answer those questions. And we know that God's grace upon him is going to help him answer every question that we ask today. Well, without wasting much time, let's meet the host pastor for this program, Pastor Moses Alu, the overseer of the Bride Assembly Lagos Church. Daddy, shalom to you.
Shalom, Brother Olumide. And it's my co-host. He's the second pastor that will be answering questions today. And shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Yes, it's good to be with you again in this program that actually should be called Ask the Pastor.
That's right.
The question and answer session where we can interact and get better the understanding of the mystery of redemption.
Amen.
I believe that for every Bible question, there is a Bible answer, especially Amen. When it has to do with salvation,
Hallelujah.
Redemption, the plan of God for our home going. You're welcome, and I pray that the Lord will use this and bless us and make our Christian life better too, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father,
yes, Lord,
who art in heaven,
Amen.
Hallowed be thy name.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this great opportunity.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
To come and fellowship with your children worldwide.
Amen.
A great privilege you have given us.
Yes, Lord.
Accept our thanks in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
You are welcome.
Amen. Wow. Our pastor started with the Lord's Prayer, as it's called. I was going to ask you a question, but you directed my mind to that particular prayer.
Yes.
So I would love to know, this is Ask the Pastor. We teach our children that form of prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Some churches, like I've been in the Catholic Church, is part of the prayers. You must recite our Father. If someone can tell you, recite 10 our fathers. So, and the Lord Jesus said, in this manner pray ye. Maybe it's English language or lack of revelation. What's your own take on the Lord's Prayer? Can we recite it? Is it wrong to recite it?
No, you guys, that's Matthew chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
You know, Matthew chapter 6 from verse 5.
Okay. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the
okay,
streets.
Okay, let me go straight to your question.
Yes, sir.
Let me not go too far. Verse 9.
Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye.
This manner.
Manner.
This manner.
Okay.
Yes.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Yes.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Mm.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Mm-hmm.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now you discover that what Christ gave us is a pattern.
A pattern.
A pattern.
Mm.
It's not recitation.
Mm.
First and foremost, what is prayer? Prayer is coming to a higher power, higher authority, to invoke that power to grant a request.
Mm.
That's the meaning of prayer.
Okay, yeah.
And so, if I say I want to marry, remember that Christ himself says in Matthew 7, he said, ask.
Mm.
Ask.
Yes, sir.
And it shall be given you.
Yes, sir.
In verse 7.
Ask and it shall be given you. Mm-hmm. Seek and ye shall find.
Yes.
Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Then verse 8.
For everyone that asketh, receiveth.
So if you say everyone that asketh, that is the prayer.
Okay.
Prayer is about asking God to do something for you.
Hmm.
Now take for instance, I want the blessing of the fruit of the womb. I want a child. I'm married. I need a child. Now you will now come. And then time for prayer, our Lord's prayer. Then you come and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us, and for thine is the kingdom, and then and all that. Then you say you have prayed. You have not prayed. When he says pray in this manner, what he's saying is pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is, start by worshiping him. That's what he's saying.
Okay.
Start your prayers by worshiping him. Exalt him. Hallowed be thy name.
Okay.
That is, when he say, hallowed be thy name, what he's saying here is, confess who he is, his identity, his attributes, his identification. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. What is thy kingdom come? Thy will be done on earth, because he has a divine agenda that he started immediately the fall of man began. That you are also praying, let his will be done. Where? On earth. Thy kingdom come. There's another expectation we are expecting. The kingdom of God is spiritual and physical. It begins with the church and is physical with the coming of the millennium.
Hallelujah.
It's in expectation. Confess it, for that is what we believe. Confess it, and that his perfect will alone will be done also in your life. And you say, give us this day our daily bread. It's verse 11 that you will now ask what you want.
Okay.
Specific for now, for today. What do you want? What do you want him to do for you? But you also know that he does not answer prayers of sinners. Therefore, you add verse 12 there, forgive my iniquity, forgive my shortcomings, let nothing hinder my receipt of my prayers. But there's a provision there, as we also forgive our debtor. That is, you were standing before God to tell him you have nobody in your heart, no vengeance around you. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is when you pray for God's protection. That is when you pray against any other problem that may be coming your way. And then you end the prayer with worshiping him again. Worship, praise him. Praise him, give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. And then you end your prayer. That is the pattern.
Hallelujah.
And I brought that out in my teaching, a sermon topic I gave, how to pray.
Amen.
How to pray.
Amen. Okay, knowledge.
It's not for recitation. It's not for recitation.
Wow. Okay, knowledge is the key. Without knowledge, you might not be able to open any door in this kingdom that we belong to.
Sure.
So please get the sermon, How to Pray. Visit brighttv.org and download that sermon. It will richly bless you.
Amen.
Okay, let's start with our brethren that are fellowshipping with us today. Shalom, Pastor Moses. God bless you. May the Almighty God continue to strengthen and uphold you. The word of God says in Exodus 20 verse 13, thou shalt not kill. My question is it right for Christians generally and message believers in particular to support political parties and candidates that believe and support abortion?
Certainly, no true Christian will support abortion. No, nobody has power to take life. Only God has power to take life. That's why the Bible says Christ's kingdom is not of this world. our kingdom is not of this world, the world system. You know, so though some countries will pass legislation even supporting it, but that's for them. Thank God we have the right to exercise our civic right, responsibility to vote and be voted for under the various constitutions. So no Christian will support such laws and the candidate propagating it. Why will I vote for somebody who is against what I believe? You have to vote for people that you agree with their policies, their manifestos, political manifestos. So if that is part of a politician's manifesto, why will you, who is forcing you? Are they forcing you to drop it in his own ballot box?
So this is serious. So if I know you also to be very good with politics and other things, you know, maybe viewers might not know so, because that's not what you preach. So, okay, let's use America as a case study. We have the Democrats and the Republicans, and we know what the Democrats believe. They're the ones that go for all this abortion, gay marriage, and so on. So are you going to, would it be wrong for a Christian to support a Democratic candidate in the election?
Oh, that's what I'm talking. I said there are manifestos of political parties. Mm-hmm. So if a particular political party, you know, has a belief that is contrary to mine, certainly I will not align with that political party.
Okay.
So no, it's not only abortion, any other thing. Any other thing that is offensive to my faith and also to my well-being and also to my interest, because politics is about the pursuit of interest.
Okay.
Certainly, nobody forces you to vote for anybody. So anyone that will come to rule me with a manifesto that will affect my faith, I will not only refuse to vote him, I will campaign against him.
Wow.
To mobilize other people who may be ignorant, who may not know, to let them know that this person is a devil.
So this is quite interesting and funny to me, both the question and your response, your answer to it. Because, okay, let me throw it from another direction before we go to the next question. What if, let's say, the economic plans of these people that are...
My faith first.
Okay.
Before any economic issue, because my Bible tells me I should seek first the kingdom of God. Okay. And my economy will be okay.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next question. This is not to debate politics. Okay, Shalom Pastor, I'm Sister Giselle from Cameroon. Please, I wish to know whether a man can hold the office of a pastor if the man have disobedient children or stubborn wife. For example, if the man doesn't attend wife doesn't attend the church he is preaching in. Clarify me on 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 7.
It's a precondition to come into the ministry.
Verse 4 and 5, yeah.
You know, maybe we read it.
1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?
Yes. If he's not ruling his own household well, certainly he will not have the ability to rule the church of Jesus Christ. It's already a dent on his image and his capability to rule at all. But listen very well. God can genuinely call a man. Let me put this very clear.
Okay.
That it is a precondition for coming in. And this aspect, I mean, whatever rebellion, what we're talking about is, for instance, even your children, your wife, don't even believe in your ministry. They don't even, you have not been able to convert them, convince them about your God, about the gospel, about your faith. And then you are, they are going to pastor, seeking the office of a pastor. You, ab initio, you are disqualified.
Wow.
But there are situations where everything was calm. There can be such a situation where after you have assume the position of leadership in the church, the devil comes for any reason and raises a rebellion. of both your children and your wife just to spoil your testimony. Now you can say, if God call a man, he will take care of that. And I can tell you too that we have a history of great men of God that God used in the past. I read somewhere where Smith Wiggles was greatly used by God. His wife, even during campaign, she would come there openly and be insulting him, be abusing him. The devil, will use that, to just try to stop you for any reason at all, to stop you from doing the work of the ministry. And that is why pastors must be very prayerful. Pastor must, be very dependent upon God and pray for wisdom to guide your family well. Now, your wife not attending your church is not evidence that you have not brought them up well. Yes, your wife can disagree with your doctrine and decide she will not follow you into the message. For instance, you want to remain in trouser wearing, hair palming, nail painting, face painting, and have clad membership church. That's the kind of church she believes this your own is too rugged. If that is the only reason why she will not attend the church, it doesn't stop him from having his ministry. But if it is that he himself puts up some irresponsible action and the elders find out that the fault is entirely his, than inability to really perform his duties at home and still wants to pick the Bible, then he's not qualified. The elders will advise him to step down and he will step down.
Wow.
So we have to balance it.
Thank you so much, sir, for that.
And in these days of human rights, your children are grown up and they can decide they don't even want to be Christians at all. And there's nothing you can do, nothing you can do. You see, that's something about the living ministry. That's why we are counselors. Once it is written there, the devil can use it to come against a true call of God.
Wow.
So we must be spiritual enough to weigh, the situation very well before we make conclusion whether the person, it is his fault or it's just an attack by the enemy, so that you go into prayers for him rather than telling him to leave. Because when you tell him to leave, you may be now installing your own instead of the one God has given you. God bless you.
Wow. May the Lord help us. Thank God for the Living Fivefold Ministry.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, more questions. Shalom, Pastor. I am Sister Victoria from Port Harcourt. I'm so glad to come to No Bride Assembly TV and also to hear the undiluted word of God always. God bless you, Daddy. More grace and wisdom. Please, Daddy, my question is about vow. In a situation where I partner with a church for monthly contribution for church projects, is this partnership a vow? If I stop paying it after some time, what is the consequence? Thanks.
No, if there's a particular project and because you say you decided to partner, now that is free will. I'm using the language.
Okay.
That's a free will contribution.
Okay.
You decided I will support this project with so amount, and if you just made that decision for any reason, you can stop. You can also decide to stop. But if you make a vow, and the vows are normally specific, until the completion of this project, I will be given so for that project. If you stop, you have committed sin. You are breaking your vow. You must continue unless it is no more there to give. If you don't have to give, then you have not broken, because it is always subject to what you have. And you must plan also towards knowing that it has become a debt. But if despite all, you don't have to give, maybe you are giving because you you could afford it, you were having a job. Suddenly you lose your job. So the income is no more there. So that situation, even naturally, in the law of contract, there's a provision for force majeure, you know, because that provision in every contract gives room for a natural cause, you know, that divorces you from your commitment in that contract. So, for a natural cause,
okay,
beyond your control, it happened that everybody says you cannot meet the obligation anymore. Coronavirus, you know, storm, you know, fire incidents. They're all natural. You didn't foresee that. You know, so also, that's how we treat such. You decide to partner with them. And every partnership is not eternal. Conditions can come where the partnership can end. You have not seen in that situation. So I hope I've balanced it for her.
Okay. So would you say it's not good for Christians to make vows?
Actually, a vow is an extreme decision made. And I will not say it is not good, but I will say it is dangerous. You know, I will say it is dangerous. It is not wise. Okay, maybe that's why I should put. You know, it is good to make vow, but it is not wise to walk with God by vow. You know, always do things because you're obligated to do them, because you're a Christian, because it will advance the kingdom, because, you know, it to be it's necessary for to do it. And don't let the obligation not be the vow you make.
Okay.
Let it be out of better commitment than vow.
Okay.
The reason is because even the Bible says so in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4, 5 and 6.
Okay. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defend not to pay it.
You see?
For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed.
Now, would not verse 5.
Better is it that thou shouldest not vow.
Better, it is better you don't vow.
Than that thou shouldest vow and not pay.
And then you now vow and you don't pay.
Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say that before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands?
You see? See the danger there. You see? When he says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Don't be hasty. Don't be hasty. Another scripture says so. Don't be hasty to make vow. Then later on, you come and say, use your mouth again and say, I just did it too. I didn't know when I said this. I didn't even know. He said, God will be angry with you. And then he will destroy the work of your hands. He can destroy the work of your hand. That is, you bring poverty and frustration upon you.
So what of Proverbs 20:25?
Yes.
That says it is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy.
Yes.
And after vows to make inquiry.
You know, that's why I say it is not wise. It is a snare. Snare is a trap that can land you into trouble.
Lord help us.
Amen.
Okay, let's take more questions. Calling us from River State. God bless you, Brother Messiah. You're on air.
Hello.
God bless you, sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
Go ahead.
I want to ask a question concerning tithing. My question concerning tithing, is it right for tithe card, the money paid on the tithe card to be recorded on the tithe? Because which I know that the tithe they are paying is to God. But is it right for the tithe money paid to be recorded on the tithe card? So that's the question.
The truth is everything. Brother Messiah, it is not a doctrine. It is tradition of a local church. I know a lot of denominations do that. I've never been a member of any of such churches. But I believe that the only reason that they may be doing that is because maybe they give some special privileges to people who pay their tithe. So you will need to give evidence that you pay your tithe into that ministry. It may also be a way of committing the members to see the importance of tithe, knowing that the church will need that money. But I believe that it shouldn't be so. Mm. I believe that it should not be so. It is between you and God. And I practice it, you know. There are some people that want to come and see me to pay their tithe. My personal assistant will even stop you. That's the reason why. It's between you and God. It's okay if you, for any reason, you want me to pray for you, for any reason, and you want to use the opportunity of paying your tithe, you know, or whatever. But, you know, I believe that your paying of tithe is between you and God. If you pay, you'll be blessed. If you don't pay, it's the same God you will call upon anyway. So I think it is an unnecessary tradition. Mm.
Oh. Thank you, sir. Okay, more questions coming in. Good evening, sir. Thanks for the wonderful program. May God continue to bless and strengthen you in Jesus' name. My question is it possible for a child of God to live without sin? Brother Terence from Cameroon.
Yes. The Bible says so. First and foremost, without even giving a scripture. Let's finish this scripture first. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
Again.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
Your question is it possible? It is possible if you are born of God. How were you born of God? The next statement.
For a seed remaineth in him.
The seed. We are born again by the word of God. When you receive the word of God, that is what converts you. It's the word you receive. The power in the word breaks you down, converts you. If that is what converts you, you cannot sin. What it means there is you won't have pleasure in sin. You will not have pleasure in sin. He cannot sin because what?
He is born of God.
Because he is born of God, you cannot sin, commit sin. Psalm 119.
Will a young man cleanse his way?
Read it.
Psalm 119 verse 9. Yes. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?
How will you live a sinless life?
By taking it thereto according to thy word.
By taking thereto according, taking heed, obeying the word of God. And verse 11.
Thy word have I hid in my heart.
Yes.
That I might not sin against
that
thee.
That I might not sin against you. That word is in you. You cannot sin. Now you say, can a child of God
live without sin?
Yes. Mm-hmm. If he obeys the word of God. If he lives an obedient life.
Oh, amen. Okay. More questions. Shalom, Daddy and Brother Olumide. More of God's blessings. I had a dream twice of someone's death and I had to delay it due to fear. Daddy, my question is, could I have done wrong for saying it? Brother Chief Unaya from Niger State.
Dreams are given to you for two reasons. One, for your own information, to be in expectation, if it is something good. Or to be a warning for something bad coming so that you can respond appropriately to avert it. So when you receive such revelation through dream, you pass it over to the person, you know, but pass it over with wisdom and not as if you are laying a curse on the person. So it's wrong that you kept it back, because your own duty is to pass the information that you receive from above, that knowledge.
Oh, thank you, sir. Okay. Pastor, who is the morning star? Or who are the morning stars and the sons of God? In Job 38, verse 7.
They are the angelic family, the angels. The usage of the sons of God there lets you know, gives a picture of a family in heaven. Those angels that are with God.
Question 2. You said ladies can attach stuff to their hair as long as it's not for fashion, right? Pastor, some people palm their hair because it's too rough. Some wear wigs because it helps shield hair. Some attach wool, etc., because it stretches and helps hair grow longer. Honestly, Pastor, they are all wrong. Okay? It's all finding ways to question the way we are created. And I think it is disrespecting God. Besides, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, it says, not with. It doesn't say you can, as long as you don't do it fashionably. Sister Blessing from Enugu.
First Timothy.
Yes, correct. Sir.
Let's read it again.
In like manner also,
yes,
that women adorn themselves in modest apparel.
So we're talking about modesty now, which is moderation.
Modesty. Okay. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair,
okay,
or gold, or pearls, or costly array.
Or costly array, but what?
But which becometh women professing godliness with good works.
So godliness, you know, your appearance, it should show godliness. Now, I'm not sure when God created man and created the woman, of course, they were beautiful. Beautiful. But it gave us a responsibility of maintaining that beauty.
Mm.
That is why when you are sick, you take drugs.
Mm-hmm.
That is why when you bath to avoid harsh weathers, we create, it's not God that gave us cream. We created the cream to maintain the skin. And anything else, if you can do something to maintain your skin, you get soap to bath so that you are not dirty. You can also put something on your hair to maintain the beauty of your hair as God gave you. It is not godliness if you allow your hair pluck and fall off for lack of maintenance. So godliness is not haggardness.
Godliness is not haggardness.
It's not haggardness.
Okay.
Appearing unattractive even to the believers, even to angels, is not godliness. It's not holiness. So you have to be very, very careful. Remember that the Bible tells us, Peter tells us, that this faith that we profess, the stature of perfection, after you've given your life to Christ, the next thing is what? Add to that faith what?
Virtue.
Virtue, that is, make your faith attractive. And don't make people reject the faith by the way you appear. Now, you don't even pick one scripture like that and run off with it. Let's balance what Apostle Paul was saying together with what Peter is also saying in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's read it.
Okay, from verse 3.
Okay.
Who's adorning?
Let it now, not, that is women now.
Okay. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward.
Now, that is your adornment, your dressing, your appearance.
Let it not be that outward adorning of
plaiting
the hair.
Don't let it be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair. That, let it not be that.
And of wearing
now,
of gold.
Now, therefore, you, if the way the, is this a man or a woman that sent it's that?
A woman.
A woman. The way you are saying it, that means women should not plait their hair.
And of wearing of gold.
Women should not wear gold in any way.
Or of putting on of apparel.
Women should not wear cloth at all. Now, what that scripture is saying, including Apostle Paul, what he's saying is that let it not be your identity. Anytime they call Sister Esther, oh, that woman that dresses like this, that woman that puts on gold, that ties her scarf like this, the one that dresses with an outlandish, you know, shine cloth. He said, if that is what you are known for, it is wrong. The way you plait your hair, the way you wear your cloth, the way a Christian woman, let that not be your identity. That is why we talk about moderation. But see your identity in verse 4.
But let it be the hidden man of
you
the earth.
See, that is your adornment now. The adornment is talking about the hidden man of the heart.
In that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit.
A meek and quiet spirit, because
which is in the sight of God of great price.
You see, that means so much to God is character. That's what he's saying here.
Amen.
You know, it's character, because you may not be putting anything under your hair. You may not even be wearing trousers. You may just be, you know, whatever way you want to appear, no meekness in you. Pride all over you. You argue with your husband. Disrespect people around you. Talk, condemn everybody. You are the only one going to heaven. And things like that. Bad character. And therefore, you have no peace with in your neighborhood because you are the only holy one around. That is wrong. And so such a person, if they call your name, what would they say? That fighter. They will not say that one that doesn't plait her hair. So please place this word properly.
Okay.
It's the motive that matters. In any way, that is your understanding. And thank you for making us know your understanding. But I'm also putting forward my understanding, and we have read your own. You see, we could have just deleted it because it's contrary to what we are saying. But in this program, we allow anyone, any question we have, we will ask. We will allow you to ask so that we can also hear your own views, and then but we will also answer you so that the people who are listening to us will know who is more correct than the other, judging us by the scriptures. So thank you for letting us know your understanding, but we disagree with you. God bless you.
Okay, Brother Tayo from Ekiti State. God bless you, sir, and good evening to you. You're on air.
Good evening, sir.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you, sir. God will continue to enrich your knowledge, sir.
Amen.
My question is this, sir. How can someone know specifically that he's been led by the Spirit of God? I mean, a child of God. How can he know specifically that he's been led by the Spirit of God at every point in time? Thank you, sir.
There are several ways of knowing you are being led by the Spirit of God. Number one, the result that comes out of what you have done.
Wow.
That is how you will know, oh, it was the Holy Spirit that led me into this. And secondly, the Spirit of God dwelling in you checks you. And there are two ways of confirming to you whether it is He wants you to do it or not. One, you find peace when you are doing that. Or something checks you. You just know you are not just happy about what you're about to do. So that is for people who are sensitive to the spirit that is in them. And of course, through the gift of the word of knowledge, He leads you, He directs you. Take, for instance, a young man was sharing testimony with me 2 days ago on how he got his wife. And he told me the very girl he wanted to marry, in a dream, he is one of our workers in the church here. In a dream, he said he brought the girl to me. And then he said, "Daddy, this is the girl I want to marry," in the dream. And I bowed down my head and I started crying. And even tears were coming out of my eyes. And I was shaking my head. And I said, "Is this the one you want to marry?" And I bowed my head again. And I was crying. And I was crying. And he was looking at me. And he woke up from the dream. He said he knew that that is God's own way of telling him, this is not the one. So he broke the relationship immediately because he believes God talks to him through that way. And then when he now saw another girl, he said a dream came up again. When he made up his mind, he would marry that one. And then in that dream, he brought that girl. And I said, "Oh, you are the one?" And I said, "Come, come, come." And then sat on my lap as a father will make his daughter sit. And then I was blessing her, blessing her, blessing her, blessing her. And he woke up. Then he said, "This is the one." That is the leadership. A minister once told me that concerning the same marriage, that when he was looking for a wife to marry, say it happened 2 or 3 times, he said. Gave me that long after he married. Long after he married. He didn't share with me until he finished his marriage. He said twice the girl he was going for to marry. And then one, I think one of them, as he was going on the bus stop, he was holding her hand, and then I appeared and then separated their hand and pushed him away. And he woke up. He knew that this is not the one. He said, it happened again on the second girl he was going after. And I appeared again and scattered the thing. And he was very worried, but he didn't tell me. until the another one he got, and then I came, and then they were holding, and then I was blessing them. And then he said, this is the one, and he ended up marrying her. So that is through the word of knowledge, through a voice, you know. I know one of my sister, my blood sister, you know, who shared with me some years back that she was standing on the bus stop here in Lagos with so many other people, and all of a sudden she had a voice telling her, move away from here quickly, move away from here quickly. She turned, she didn't see anybody talking. Oh, this must be God talking to me. She said she moved away. Not quite 1 minute after she moved away from that spot where she was, he said a vehicle lost, failed brake and began to clear people. Some people died, many injured. And you see, but she escaped it by that. So that is also part of the leading of the Spirit of God. So I hope I have answered this question.
Okay. Thank you, sir. It's a very important question, so I myself noted it down. Amen. Okay. Good evening, Pastor. Please, is there anything that can cause somebody to baptize again after baptizing in Jesus' name? Sister Grace from Cameroon.
Nothing. There should be nothing. I know you want to say, some people will tell you, if I found out that the person that baptized me was not converted, he's not the one remitting your sins. He has led you to the cross. That's
even,
all.
Even if he's occultic.
As long as he baptized you.
The correct
way. And if an occultic man sent you to the cross of Jesus, wouldn't you thank him?
Mm.
Okay.
Okay, what if you the baptized now?
Yes.
Let's say you did it maybe.
No, that's where I'm coming. Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, yeah. So continue answering.
Ah, no, sir.
You're
no,
correct.
I'm asking you.
You're
sir.
Correct.
I'm asking you.
So, if not, then you discover that you because he used the word, if I baptized correctly.
Okay, okay.
It's expected that if you thought you baptized correctly and you found out that you did not baptize correctly, but in the name of Jesus. Now, you could have baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus according to the Bible, but did you repent?
Mm.
If you did not repent and you went for baptism for deliverance, for healing, or you went for baptism because somebody commanded you, you did it to please someone, not from your conviction, not from a broken spirit that you've now made up your mind to serve God. That one you went to swim. Mm-hmm. Now go and correct it. Now Amen. Repent and then re-baptize.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Okay, let's take another question. Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. I'm Sister Judith Mangai from Abuja, an online member. Dear Pastor Moses, I have heard you on Rapture Watch say that Judas Iscariot will not go to hell because he regretted what he did. In the topic, Brother Judas, Christ spoke of his betrayal and his joint even before it happened in Matthew 26, verse 23 and 24. And he didn't ask for mercy but still went to commit suicide. How can he end up in heaven?
Sister who?
Judith.
Sister Judith, don't worry. Let's forget about Judas. The truth about it is that the hope of glory is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Mm. All that teaching, I have exhausted it. I've answered this your question several times. And the purpose of that teaching is being set aside by such arguments. After all, I was only wanting you to understand mercy and understand eternal security.
Mm.
And give you hope for those of you who are falling and think there is no hope, to know that there is hope.
Amen.
And that there is hope if you repent.
Mm.
Because the emphasis is repentance.
Mm.
And the only sin you can commit now is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Judas did not blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Judas fulfilled Christ saying, every sin against the Son of Man is forgivable.
Hmm. Oh my. Emma.
But the sin against the Holy Ghost, which is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, is the sin that is neither forgiven here nor hereafter.
Wow.
Judas is as guilty as all the Pharisees and all the Sadducees and all that mistreated him, including those from his village. So I want you to understand that first, and that Apostle Peter told us to give diligence to make our calling. Look at yourself. Stop looking at Judas. Mm. When we get to heaven and you see him, greet him. Mm-hmm. And if you go there, you don't see him, then don't be surprised. The important thing is we should be there.
Amen.
I think we should stop unnecessary argument about that. That becomes academic, than that the devil can hijack that and make it, give it so much importance. And then before you know why, you will label me as one preaching error, heresy. Mm. The hope of glory is
Christ
in you.
Amen.
Nothing more. Mm. And every teaching a teacher teaches is to lead you to God through the cross.
Hallelujah.
And the benefit of the cross.
Amen.
And Judas is a part of that benefit.
Amen and amen.
That's what I want you to note.
Amen.
So that you also know that God works in various ways.
Mm.
The message of the cross begins from that betrayal and the crucifixion. And that is what gave us hope. If the princes of this world had known who he is, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Mm.
See?
Amen.
So please, our sister, put that aside and pursue perfection.
Amen.
For now, we are not in the ministry of Judas. We are in the ministry of perfection.
Amen and amen.
Be ye perfect. That is the
commandment.
Amen. Even as our Father in heaven is perfect. God bless you.
Every sin and blasphemy against the Son of Man shall be forgiven. That's a key. Yes. I'll advise all those who are still, let me not say confused, let me say concerned about this topic of Brother Judas. Revisit that message. You can get it on brighttv.org and listen attentively. Don't listen with any mindset you've had before concerning Judas. Have an open heart and listen attentively with your Bible with you. I believe your eyes will be open to understand what the pastor is trying to say.
The same way they react to the fate of Judas is the same way those who reject eternal security, they respond when they hear or take that teaching. When you say once you are saved, forever you are saved. And then while you are saying that, you mean if somebody is sin today, he is sin, then he die, you will go to heaven.
You are giving them license to sin.
You are giving people license to sin. It's lack of revelation. It's your understanding. It's
That's
a wrong understanding of salvation.
That's true.
And the same way they are applying to the teaching
of Judas.
Of God's mercy on Judas.
Amen.
God bless you.
Okay, we'll take a short break. And we want you to maybe go and ease yourself during this break, because we'll be right back after now. Stay tuned.